Believe it or not, the footsteps of God are all over the land of Israel. Welcome to the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we've gotten to see some of those footsteps in person in Israel, and we're going to tell you after the entire interview, later in the end of the show, we're going to tell you how you can go with us in 2022 or, frankly, any time in the future.
Yeah.
So stay tuned on that. But in the meantime, Tom Horn.
Our weekly mystery
again,
to investigate.
Tom Horn has given us an assignment. So let's see what he put in the big books.
This is a fascinating one. This relates to something. I actually talked about this in my virtual presentation for Skywatch TV in 2020, the Defender Conference in 2020. I was looking at the history of supernatural events discovered or described in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mysterious megalithic structures that has only been discovered in Israel within the last 10 years is something that's actually submerged beneath the water of the Sea of Galilee, very close to the site where we get baptized. We go into the Jordan River to worship and to baptize people.
What is that called? Beit Shan or something like that?
Bet Yerah.
That's
yes.
It.
Bet Yerah, which means temple or house of the moon god.
Mm-hmm.
But just across the street is the site of Yardenit, which is the baptismal site where we visited. If we just looked across the street, there's an ancient community there where the Hurrian people, Horites in the Bible, settled hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years before Abraham walked the earth. But archaeologists in 2012 found a massive megalithic monument under about 30 feet of water.
I see a note here that Derek has more on this on his iPad.
Yes.
Now, I'm not really sure why Tom
exactly
Horn would know that, but he knows everything.
Yeah, well, this is not exactly old school, but
we're supposed to be going with paper on this show.
I know. It doesn't quite fit the whole,
you
know,
221B
Baker Street.
We just can't get you away from you kids,
and our electronic toys. This monument has, again, just discovered about 10 years ago by a team that was looking for the ancient course of the Jordan River, which used to exit the Sea of Galilee north of that site called Bet Yerah.
Mm-hmm.
And this huge monument. It's a big pile of basalt rocks, which they estimate at about 60,000 tons of stone. Now, by comparison, the concentric rings at Gilgal Rephaim are about 42,000 tons. Stonehenge is about 25,000 tons of stone. So here, 60,000 tons of stone piled up in a massive, tumulus? We don't know.
Almost a pyramid shape, but it's really not that the four sides or anything. By the way, if you can't tell, he's got a little iPad.
Just hiding it behind me.
I think you're cute. I really do. I think you're just cute as a button. But but think of all the time that when this was built, it was not underwater.
No. And scholars, because it's been underwater for a very long time, due to the tectonic activity there along that Jordan Rift, which sits right on a fault line. That's why the Sea of Galilee is there. It's basically, it's a big depression in the earth that filled with water from the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
This, at some point, became submerged. It used to be probably on the shore. But the question is, what's it for? It's never been excavated because it was only found 10 years ago. So a team from Ariel University and Tel Aviv University, Dr. Michael Freakman, one of the lead investigators on this, who also excavated at Gilgal Rephaim, he's got a real interest in megalithic monuments, especially in Israel, wants to do more work here to find out. They want to do ultrasound investigations on this massive underwater pyramid and find out if there's a central chamber and, if possible, to get in and excavate and find out what's there. But he connects this to an ancient Amorite myth from the ancient kingdom of Ugarit, which was located in northern Syria on the Mediterranean coast, destroyed during the time of the Judges, a myth called the Epic of Akkad. Akkad was a young man whose father, named Danel, was the king, or Danel, equivalent of Daniel.
Yes, different Daniel.
Different Daniel, not the one in that we know, but it was a popular name back in the day. Anyway, Akkad was given a magic bow by one of the gods, and the war goddess Anat, wanted that bow. Well, Akkad wouldn't give it up, and so she had him killed, basically. She had him murdered. And so the father, Danel, goes out looking for his son, Akkat, and the geographic clues, now bear in mind, this is in northern Syria, almost on the border of Turkey, but the geographic clues, according to Dr. Freakman, place the events of this epic right around the Sea of Galilee. He mentioned, in fact, one of them probably points to Beth Yerah. And so that's why he believes that this massive, what could be a burial cairn of some sort, this megalithic site bigger than Stonehenge, is possibly connected to this ancient epic.
This is like an ancient murder mystery.
Yes, yes, going back 3,500 years. And here's the thing that I found fascinating, and why when this story came up, I knew we had to talk about it. The Epic of Akkat, in that story, the king, Daniel, says he's going to look for his son, and when he finds him, he will mourn for his son, and they will bury him in a tomb for the underworld gods. These underworld gods can only be a reference to the Rephaim, who were known to the Amorites of that period.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, he says, I will bury him in a tomb at Kinneret. As we found during...
Which is the name for the Galilee.
The Sea of Galilee. And as we discovered during our investigation for the book Veneration, there is a massive collection of dolmens, which are megalithic funerary monuments clustered just north of the Sea of Galilee. So many that Israeli archaeologists say you cannot describe them as dolmen fields anymore because there's no boundary line as to when one ends and the other begins. In other words, it's a massive necropolis.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're just going to have to go to Aaron and see what he has to do. Talk about this. What is he discussing this week?
Well, we're talking about the footsteps of God. So as long as we're talking about massive megalithic structures in Israel, there's no better person to talk to than Aaron Lipkin. And our conversation with Aaron is next on the Bible's Greatest Mysteries.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's biggest giveaway of the summer. The Zeitgeist Summer Exclusive includes Dr. Thomas Horn's eye-opening new book, Zeitgeist 2025, Countdown to the Secret Destiny of America, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, and The Return of Old Saturn's Reign, along with a never-before-released six-part Zeitgeist 2025 companion DVD, the shocking full-length documentary, The Secret Destiny of America on DVD, the full-length movie, Belly of the Beast, the ancient mystery that holds the secret of Antichrist's resurrection and return, and the entire six-disc Rise 2021 Defender Virtual Conference box set on DVD, a $245 value, now available for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. In the new book, Zeitgeist 2025, you will learn hidden secrets and forgotten prophecies surrounding the year 2025, how the current U.S. government is tied to America's occult destiny, lost prophecies from Qumran, forecasting 2025 as the final age of man, how America's capital city is laid out to actuate arrival of Antichrist, and why historians and intelligence agencies foresee a totalitarian world government by 2025. You'll also receive the Zeitgeist Companion DVD. This six-part eye-opening expose on DVD reveals the malevolent Orwellian Trinity converging around the world, seeking to homogenize the freedom to speak and think in order to create nations of assimilated devotees who will embrace Antichrist. And we're just getting started. This must-have collection also includes the breathtaking two-hour documentary, The Secret Destiny of America on DVD, featuring Dr. Thomas Horn as he reveals who the God on America's Great Seal and U.S. $1 bill really is, why 72 pentagrams in the Capitol Dome are used to control the ancient cosmocrators who rule the nations, the coming incarnation of Antichrist, and much, much more. But that's not all. For a very limited time, you'll also receive the complete Rise 2021 Defender Virtual Conference box set on DVD. This six-disc collection is jam-packed with over 26 hours of mind-boggling revelations from world-renowned Bible teachers, archaeologists, and ancient language scholars on the prophetic events unfolding all around the world right now. Featuring unforgettable presentations from Dr. Thomas Horn, Dr. Judd Burton, Bishop Ron Webb, Dr. Aaron Judkins, Pastor Mark Biltz, Colonel David Giamona, Dr. Ken Johnson, and so many more. Plus, Plus, for the first time ever, free the full-length movie Belly of the Beast, the ancient mystery that holds the secret of Antichrist's resurrection and return on DVD, absolutely free. Sold separately, these items hold a shocking retail value of over $245. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. So don't miss SkyWatch TV's biggest giveaway of the summer, the Zeitgeist Summer Exclusive, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985. The Bible's Greatest Mysteries is part of SkyWatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. Follow us online at SkyWatchTV.com.
Welcome back to the Bible's Greatest Mysteries. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us again this week is the CEO of Lipkin Tours, the publisher of the books by the late archaeologist Adam Zertal, who made some amazing discoveries in the Holy Land, and the producer of the Hidden Israel series of DVDs, Aaron Lipkin. Aaron, welcome back.
Shalom, Derek.
The footsteps of God. This was something we sort of just touched on last week in discussing Joshua's altar. The perimeter fence around the altar site. What is the significance of that, and then how does it relate to what Professor Zertal wrote in his book, The Footsteps of God?
Let's take a step back for 1 second. For many years, the archaeologists and the academic world stated that there is no evidence for the Israelite invasion into the land of Israel. They specifically looked at the area of Jericho, which is in the book of Joshua, the place where the Israelites entered into the land to conquer Jericho, and you know, just before camping in Gilgal. And archaeologists claim that there is no evidence for an invasion of you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people in that area. And again, Adam Zertal, an atheist, you know, non-believing archaeologist scientist, decides to do an emergency survey of the Jordan Valley, an area north of Jericho that wasn't really mapped or archaeologically surveyed. And they find hundreds of sites pop out of nowhere in the early Iron Age that really there's no other explanation than an invasion from the east. So we have to understand that the context is the hundreds of settlements that were found by Zertal and his crew. Now, these are all sites that are really sheep goats. They're really these circles of stones that were made for fences for sheep and goats. And around those, they built the tents. So the only thing that was left over after 3,000 years is just the circles of stones. But Adam Zertal also found other oval-shaped structures that were much, much bigger. I mean, they were really monumental compared to these simple round stones that were built by that same mysterious civilization. And some of these oval-shaped structures looked like footprint structures. They looked like the right footprint. And so at first, Adam Zertal didn't know what they were. They just looked monumental. They looked like something that you would have to invest a lot of energy to build, to plan it so it really fits a certain shape. All these oval-shaped structures were stationed near the near mountains with natural slopes that could serve as amphitheaters.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know, everybody thinks that the Greeks were the ones that invented the theater. Well, actually, it's the Israelites. So you see that these monumental oval-shaped footprint structures were stationed at places that could seat thousands of people watching what was going on in those footprint structures. So Adam Zertal started to understand that this is not just a simple sheep or goat cage or a fortress or... It was something else. It looked like something that was used for worshiping reasons. And so what does Adam Zertal do at this point after discovering Joshua's altar? He understands that he needs to look at Jewish sources. He needs to look at the Bible because the Bible is a valid historical document. And so he looks at the Bible and he looks for something that the Israelites are doing in the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, Samuel, that has something connected to worshiping, and he sees that the Israelites convene in Gilgal, a place called Gilgal. Now, as someone who learned the Bible before meeting Adam Zertal, I thought that Gilgal was the name of a place near mm-hmm. Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the Bible carefully, you see that there are at least three distinct places in the Bible where Gilgal is mentioned. And it's not in specifically in Jericho. There's one near the near Elon Moreh, near the Oak of Moreh in Shechem.
Mm.
And there's one on the border between Judah and Benjamin that are not Jericho. And so you understand that Gilgal is not the name of a place, but actually the name of a function. And so Adam Zertal theorized that these footprint structures are Gilgal. And, you know, every scientist that has a theory has to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Adam Zertal said, if these are indeed Gilgal, then there should be a Gilgal on the border between Benjamin and Judah that I haven't found yet. He orders satellite footage from that area.
Hmm.
And he observes it very, very carefully. And he finds the sixth footprint structure. And for him, that was proof that those are indeed the Gilgal structures.
Now, where is that one located?
It's located actually really close to where I live. I live in Ophrah mm-hmm. in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's close to the township of Rimonim, just south of Ophrah in Samaria, really on the border between Judah and Benjamin. And when you read the Bible in the book of Joshua, when they describe the border between Judah and Benjamin, they mention the name Gilgal that is in front of Maale Adumim. And that was the one that Adam Zertal thought were that's what he's going to find. And indeed he found it. And so we've been excavating these sites just in this past year, both the Gilgal at Rimonim and Gilgal at Argaman in the Jordan Valley. And you can see that these are sites that were built by the Israelites in the early Iron Age period. And the interesting thing is the shape. Why are the Israelites building these oval-shaped structures in the shape of a footprint?
Right, that's the question.
And again, Adam Zertal, you know, is theorizing. He doesn't know exactly why, but he is looking at other cultures. And he sees that the Egyptians saw the footprint shape as something that was important. And the foot of Pharaoh was considered not just a physical foot, but also a foot of a ruler, of a king. And when you see the sandals of Tutankhamun, you see that on his sandals there are pictures of the bows that represent the nations of the world. And so when he would tread on them, when he would walk on these sandals, he would really declare his governance, his conquests over those nations. And then when you look at the Bible, you see that Moses and Joshua are often mention the verse, wherever you will tread your foot will be yours. And so that idea of governance, of conquest, mentioning the foot and the treading of the foot was definitely a declaration of this is ours.
And this began with in the Jordan Valley, but the shape of the outer perimeter then around Joshua's altar is
exactly
in that shape.
Yes, yes. And when you stand there, you see that there's really no reason for the Israelites to build the wall in that shape. It doesn't coincide with the geography. There is definitely, the shape is the symbol. It has a meaning of itself. And, you know, one of the things that Adam Zertal said is that, you know, now that you reflect on that, you know, how do you say in Hebrew pilgrimage? The word pilgrimage is aliyah laregel, which means going up to the foot. Now, we use that term even today in Israel, but we never think why we're saying that. Why we're saying going up to the foot. And Adam Zertal says, well, now we understand why. Because when the Israelites went to worship God in the feasts, the biblical feasts, they would go up to the foot, the place where they would worship, you know, just when they entered the land, before Shiloh, before Jerusalem. And, you know, many people ask me then, what about Jerusalem? I mean, do we find any sign of a footprint in Jerusalem? And so when Adam Zertal would lecture about his discovery, he would finish by showing a picture of Jerusalem in the time of King David and King Solomon.
Right, right.
And you would see very clearly that the walls around Jerusalem were in the shape of a footprint.
That's the thing that startled us as we put together our video of our tour in 2019. After seeing Joshua's altar, and sadly because of time constraints, we could only drive past Argamon, but I found an 1865 map of Jerusalem. A German cartographer had done it and showed the outlines of the old city of David, and it very clearly is in the shape of the sandal. So that would be the seventh of the footprints?
Correct. No, unless there are maybe more that we don't know about. you know, Israel is such a land full of surprises, and because, you know, we're talking about structures that were there for thousands of years, many of them are still covered and are just waiting to be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the excitement that we experience in Israel on a weekly basis. I mean, you know, archaeologists are finding things every day that really change the picture, change the way we see things. And every discovery that's being made really proves the veracity and the historicity of the Bible.
What's really amazing is, and when you think about this and step back a little further, is that, first of all, the footprint of Jerusalem was not fulfilled or not taken by Israel until David, 400 years after Joshua led Israel across the Jordan River. But Joshua didn't cross the Jordan River until 400 years after God tested Abraham on Mount Moriah. God signaled his intent that this would belong to the descendants of Abraham back in his day. And it was 800 years later when David finally took possession of that last footprint.
Yeah, and you see how the tradition goes on through the ages. And indeed, between Joshua and King David, there is 400 years. But the importance of the shape of the foot, again, went on through the ages. Just like Joshua's altar, the way it was built, was moved on from the time of Joshua and Mount Sinai all the way down to the Second Temple period, as we discussed last week. So, you know, we definitely see how the Israelites are keeping those traditions, you know, for generations.
Let me ask this just in a general sense. How is the archaeology, the work of Adam Zertal, and your work to bring it to audiences both here and in Israel, how is it changing in Israel the perception of Israelis to their own history?
Well, unfortunately, many Israelis are so preoccupied with their day-to-day work.
Well, as most of us are, yes.
And also, you have to understand something, you know, many people take it for granted that they're, when they come, you know, with our tours, they come to Judea and Samaria. But many Israelis don't visit Judea and Samaria at all. They think that these areas are unsafe, and they're very safe. And we've brought, you know, hundreds and thousands of tourists there who went there and were so excited to visit Bethel and Shiloh. But many Israelis avoid those areas, unfortunately, and therefore they avoid the knowledge and understanding of the importance of the biblical sites there. And so, you know, until today, when you say to the regular Israeli, you know, have you been to Joshua's altar? He will look at you with open eyes and don't really know what you're talking about. So, you know, people that come to these sites are really blessed to be able to do that. And that's why it's so important for us to bring people there, not just Christians from all over the world, but also Jews. And I can tell you that when I do bring groups of Jews from Israel to Joshua's altar, they're so amazed. I mean, you know, I stand there and I talk about the archaeology and about the biblical verses, and there's so much more to learn about the site, and I'm just going to throw, you know, something interesting in there. One of the things that are said by Joshua during the ceremony is that the people that attended that ceremony were the men, the women, the elders, the sojourners, but also the native-born. And that is a big question mark. I mean, all of these people that are here, shouldn't there be from Egypt?
Yes.
You know, they came from Egypt. Who are the native born? And so you understand that in the land of Canaan, there were Israelites while most of the Israelites are in Egypt. And that's an interesting thing that we're discovering now and researching. And I would love to share that with you.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be fascinating. For people who are more interested, in learning more about the footsteps of God, you've got Adam Zertal's book, but also your Hidden Israel series of DVDs includes one on the footsteps of God. Where would people go to find those?
So they should visit hiddenisrael.net. And we just came out with this new book, The Footsteps of God, that was written by Professor Adam Zertal. Very recommended, sheds a lot of light on the Bible and the biblical events, and I really recommend it. And we also have a Bible teaching, a DVD, about the footsteps of God.
Fascinating stuff that these monuments were left behind as a reminder of God's promise, that wherever you place the sole of your foot, the land will belong to you. And I think it's fascinating that you find six of those, so far anyway, dated to the time of Joshua and the Israelites, but the seventh was when David took the city of the Jebusites, almost 400 years after Joshua and the
Jerusalem.
Israelites. Yes, yes. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. By the way, we have a book available. We don't. Aaron does, but we have a copy of it here if you want to hold it up. You can get this book from aaronlipkin.com.
Right. It's it's at hiddenisrael.net.
Oh,
is the website, hiddenisrael.net, and you'll get a copy of the book there. Plus, he's got a whole DVD series called the Hidden Israel series, where Aaron's fascination with drones has been put to good use.
Really high-end drones.
But he
very
shows
nice
some
stuff.
Yes, high-quality footage of these sites that you can only really perceive from the air, because when you're looking at them from the ground, it just looks like a bunch of rocks.
Wow.
But when you see them from the air, it's very clear what you're looking at.
Well, you need to go with us to Israel in 2022 or whenever it is we're going. No matter what year it is, if we're going, you're going to find it at skywatchinisrael.com. You're going to see the itinerary there, and you can sign up.
Yeah. Our next scheduled date's March of 2022, March 20th through April 4th. But again, we will always keep the latest tour information there, skywatchinisrael.com. Fascinating stuff, because Israel, as they say, you can't dig a garden there without uncovering archaeology. And that's one of the reasons we are so fascinated with the work of the archaeologists who have dug the story out of the ground, because it confirms the narrative that we read in the Bible, even the weird parts.
I know. Well, according to this, we have more Aaron Lipkin next week, so join us again.
Yes, this is the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV.